I'll ask you a question. Anybody ever had to spend Christmas away from home?
Yes.
Wasn't a whole lot of fun, was it? Now, I've never had to do that, but my sister, back when she was married, her husband was in the military, and she had to spend Christmas away from home. And so that can be kind of difficult, and I know that other people have. And you know, I don't know, I guess the way I would imagine it, you feel like everything's going okay, you're away from home, and then all of a sudden here's the Christmas season, and boy, the fact that you're away from home starts to, you know, kind of get to you right here. You want to be back with mom and dad or brothers and sisters or, you know, whatever the case may be. And isn't it great, though, when you know you can't be at home, but you open the door, you hear a knock on the door, and you open it up and look, and there's this big box, and it's got your name on it. And you look at the return address, and praise God, it's from home. And you can't wait to open that box. So you take it inside, and you try to be patient, because you don't want to, you know, maybe cut something up or break anything. And so you undo the tape and all that, and you open up the box, and you reach inside, and there are all these presents, all these gifts. They have your name on them, or your husband or wife or the kids' names or whoever's with you. And it's like, praise God, look at this. Gifts from home. Thank you, Jesus. Of course, if you weren't a Christian, you probably wouldn't have said that. But you rush over and you get on the phone and you say, hey, we just got the box. We just got all the presents. And they tell you, now you can't open them till Christmas. You got to leave them under the tree till Christmas. It's like, oh, man. It's like, okay. And so you express your gratitude, and then over the next few days while you're waiting for Christmas to come, and you see those gifts under there. I mean, there may be a lot of other gifts, maybe a whole lot of other presents under that tree, but boy, your eyes are looking at the ones that came from home. I mean, everybody else was nice to you, but this is really special because you've got a gift from home. And you know what? That might be the first one you open. Or you might open all the rest of them and save those for last, you know, kind of like dessert of presents and whatever. But anyway, it's so exciting to get gifts from home. I remember when I was growing up how exciting it was for me to receive something in the mail from my grandparents, because they were down in Corbin, Kentucky, and we were up here in Dayton. And, you know, we would send things to them, but as a little kid, you know, you didn't get too much involved in sending things. But boy, it was so neat when the box would come and there would be presents in there, have my name on it, to Jimmy from Mama and Papa. It's like, woo, yes, glory. Well, I didn't say that, you know, when I was 9 years old, but oh, I was so happy. I was so happy. You know what? We talk about the Christmas season and how this is the time for gifts and all of that. But I want you to see something here in John chapter 17. Now, we talked about when you're away from home and how it can be kind of frustrating because you want to be home, want to be with your family members. But look what Jesus said in John chapter 17. Look at verse 14. He said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And in verse 16, he says it again. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now look over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, take a look at verse 11. It says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Well, now here Peter is calling us strangers and pilgrims. And Jesus twice made the statement that we're not of the world, even as he is not of the world. Now, if we're strangers and we're pilgrims and we're not of the world, you know what? That must mean we're not home. We're not home. We're here, and it can sure be nice at times here, but according to this, it seems like we're not home. This isn't home. It might feel like home, but it's not home. We're not of the world. Well, this is Christmas time. We already know what it's like to receive gifts from home and how exciting it is to get those packages all wrapped up with our names on them. But you know what? If this isn't our home, and our home is somewhere else, which it is, I bet we still get gifts from home. I bet we still get gifts from home. All wrapped up, got our name on it, to Don from Dad, to Marcia, love Dad, to LaFay, love Papa. You know what? I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking, well, if I'm not of this world, what kind of gifts has my Father given me? And I began to take a look in Scripture. And I just looked up the word gift, look up the word gifts, to kind of get an idea of what I've been given. So I want you to look with me for a few moments in Scripture at some of these things. Turn over to James chapter 1. You're not too far from it there in Peter. James chapter 1. Looky here, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hey, he's telling me right here, my Father's given me gifts. Praise God. He's given me gifts. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, if my dad came and told me he'd given me gifts, bless God, I'd want to know what they were. Don't hold back on me, Daddy. What are they? But you know what? This 17th verse, it almost sounds like a Christmas verse. Look at this. Every good gift and every perfect gift, well, gift, Christmas, I mean, that sounds kind of Christmassy, doesn't it? Is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Lights. That's kind of a Christmas word, isn't it? I know I'm stretching things just a little bit here, but it kind of jumped out to me because, you know, this time of year, we're kind of sensitive to that. Hey, listen, you know, go down here the road, first or second street, turn right, drive into that plat. My goodness, you talk about beautiful houses. That whole, I mean, there's like 7 or 8 houses. You almost have to put on sunglasses. It's so bright. It's beautiful. And you drive around, you see all of these lights all over the place. How many of you heard the radio broadcast yesterday? Oh, okay, well, good. Then when I tell you this, you won't have heard it already. Why didn't you listen to the Father of Lights? You know, there's a lot of criticism from some people about decorating at Christmas time. And they think it's very sacrilegious. Especially, you know, like the area of Christmas trees. Putting up a tree in your house and putting all those lights on it and all those ornaments and everything. That's not what Christmas is all about. And God have mercy if you put one in the church. Oh, I've heard some heavy, heavy criticism about putting Christmas trees in a church. You know, God forbid that you would... Why, that's like hooking up with the Antichrist. You can't do that. Now, here's something interesting. I'll share this with you. I did a little study trying to find out where in the world did the practice of putting up a tree come from. I mean, think about it. Who came up with this? It's kind of odd, isn't it? Cut down a tree, stick it in your house, and put a bunch of stuff on it, plug it in, and say, ooh, ah. I thought, you know, where did this practice come up? Well, I want you to look over. Go ahead and turn over to Isaiah chapter 41. We're diverting just for a moment. I want you to see this. Isaiah chapter 41. As I was studying, digging around, trying to figure out where in the world this idea of Christmas trees came from, here's what I found out. Anybody ever heard of a guy named Martin Luther? Well, apparently, everything I've been able to figure out so far, Martin Luther is the person who invented the tradition of putting a tree up and decorating it for Christmas. And somebody asked him, nobody had ever done it before. And somebody asked him, why do you do this? You've got this tree in your house and you have all these lights. Well, at that time it was candles. You know, they didn't have electricity. And he said, why have you done this? He quoted scripture. And I want you to see it. This, what I'm getting ready to show you is the verse that Martin Luther used to begin putting up trees, and this started this tradition. Isaiah 41, verse 19. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shita tree, and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine tree and the box tree together. Now, when he saw that, he began to meditate on that, and he said, well, this is God. This is what God's using trees as a decoration, as a form of decoration. And so he began to utilize, he took that as an inspiration. He began to put trees up and decorate them. And this is where he got the idea. And Martin Luther was the first one who began the tradition of decorating a Christmas tree. And I thought that was so interesting because, you know, there's so much criticism surrounding something like that, and here, lo and behold, it has its roots in the man who started the Reformation. Glory to God. Think of it, think of that. Well, anyway, if you look back over in Romans chapter 5, we're going to take a look at some of these gifts that our Father has given to us. Every good and perfect gift has come from Him. Now look at this. In verse 16 it says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. I know we're jumping in the middle of what Paul is writing about, but what I want to draw your attention to here is this concept of justification. And you know, this whole issue of justification, when you do a study on that word justification and you simplify its meaning, what it comes out to is the rights of the saints to appropriate from God what He has declared belongs to them. It's a legal term. It was a legal term that was used by the Romans. The Greek word was. This justification, what it means is this. Once we become a child of God, He has passed on to us the gift of justification, meaning we are justified to go into His presence and make our requests known unto Him. We are justified to go in there and lay claim to whatever it is He has promised to us through Jesus Christ. Now, this is important because there are a lot of people, a lot of Christians, who are on a, they just don't see themselves as God sees them, and they think of themselves as unworthy to approach the Father. They see themselves, I'm not worthy of God's blessings. I'm not worthy of His healing. I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of that. And yet God turns around right here and He says, no, you don't understand. You're my child. I have passed on to you this gift of justification. You are justified to come before me. There's nothing else that you need to do to be able to approach me. This is a legal term. God has passed judgment on us and declared us to be justified to come before His presence. Now, for us, that means a whole lot because it means I don't have to try and figure out what can I do to earn something from Him. He has already legally declared, I'm justified. I now have the right to go before Him. There's nothing else that I can do down here in this life, because Jesus is the one who fulfilled the requirements of the law. And when I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that fulfilling the requirements of the law is passed unto me. And because of that, God says, okay, son, you're justified. I give you, I declare you, I pass judgment over you and declare you justified to come before my presence to receive from me whatever it is that you need. You can't earn it through your works. You can't do anything to get me to bless you, because I've already blessed you. I've already declared you worthy. You're justified. That doesn't mean a whole lot to us, but to the Jews it would have meant a whole lot, because at that day and time they were ruled by the Romans, and they were not considered equal in citizenship to the Romans unless they happened to have been born a Roman citizen like Paul. Now here comes Paul, and he's explaining this. He says, you don't understand. You don't have to go through all this law stuff anymore and hope that God finds the animal that you present to be good enough for you to ask Him for something. The sacrifice for your justification has already been offered, and it's because of Jesus Christ the Heavenly Father has declared you justified to stand in His presence and receive from Him what it is that He wants to pour out into your life. Well, look at the very next verse. Look at another gift. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and, look at that, the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. The gift of righteousness. You know, it's really interesting, this word righteousness. People talk about, oh, I wouldn't want to call myself righteous. Hey, I am. I mean, that, you may not think so when you look at me. And if you hang around me long enough, I may disappoint you and do some things that maybe aren't too righteous. But I am the righteousness of God. My Father has said, here, son, if I'd have had time, what I would have done, and I didn't think about this till not too long before the service, I'd have wrapped up some boxes. And don't tell anybody, I might preach this one next year, Christmas time, I need some boxes. And have boxes and opened up each box and pulled out. Anyway, this righteousness, this word righteousness is really, it's kind of a shortened version of the description of the very character and nature of God, His standards of holiness and perfection. And what He's saying here as far as the gift of righteousness is concerned, giving us the gift of righteousness, we've gone to the Father through Jesus Christ. We are now His child. He has given to us the gift of His standard of holiness and purity and perfection. He has given this gift to us. Now, because it's a gift, there's nothing I can do for it. See, when I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and the Father has given this gift of righteousness to me, what He's done is He has said, listen, here, this is my standard of holiness. I am God, and I am holy, and there is nothing unholy about me. There is nothing imperfect about me. There is nothing impure about me. And because you've made a decision to allow me to bring you into my family, it's not just a matter that you're my son, you're my daughter. I also give this gift to you, my holiness, my purity, my perfection. And you don't have to run to the altar every time the doors of the church are open and beg for forgiveness and beg to grow, get a little bit more righteousness in your life. He says, I've given this gift to you. It's a gift and you can't earn it. It's a gift. It is a gift. Just like at Christmas time when you open up a present, somebody's given you that gift. They don't reach back and, I mean, there you are. You open the present and you've got this really neat gift and you think, wow, this is so cool. And then the person that gave it to you comes over and says, now hold on. And they grab it back out of your hands and say, now, you don't get this unless you cut my grass for the next 6 months or when it warms up. It's a no strings attached kind of a thing. Isn't it amazing how some people can get offended if they give you a gift and you take it back? Wait a minute. You're telling me our friendship is based upon me keeping what you gave me? I thought it was a gift. If it's a gift, don't I have the right to do with it what I want? God's given us a gift of righteousness. It's not something we could have earned. He has imparted unto us, given to us the gift of His standard of holiness and perfection and purity. I can try as hard as I possibly can try through all kinds of good deeds and all kinds of works. I can show up every Sunday for Sunday school. I can stay for church, come back Sunday night, come back Wednesday night. I can do all of these. In fact, when I was young, the church I went to, on our offering envelopes, there were little boxes on there. If you brought your Bible, you put a check. If you were, if you read your Sunday school lesson, you put a check. If you did this, you put a check, and all these things. And you got these different points, and you got points if you kept attending a certain number of weeks. And they'd give you a little pins and badges and all these kinds of things. In other words, what we were doing was basing our religiosity upon how many points we could garner through things we did at church. And boy, some of these people, they wear their pins, perfect attendance pins and all this. And I mean, they look like somebody that had been through the war. They had all these medals all over their chest. But with God, it's not like that. Hey, I'll drop a bomb on you. Your righteousness is not dependent upon your church attendance. Your righteousness is not based upon the money you put in an offering plate. Your righteousness is not based upon clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, visiting those that are in prison. That's not what your righteousness is based on. Your righteousness is based upon the gift that your Father has given you. Out of your righteousness, you do all of these other things, but your righteousness itself is not based upon that. Your righteousness is based upon the fact you're born again. And God has given to you, your Father has given to you this good and perfect gift of His righteousness. Now turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Now look at verse 8. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and did what? Gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. Well, what gifts did He give? Verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Now, we won't go into this a whole lot, but we've seen in the past how this also includes such things as helps and governments. He's given these gifts. These things didn't exist before. In fact, the ministry of the prophet is really about the only one that we can see as far as name is concerned, and teacher to a certain extent from Old Testament to New Testament, but the ministry of the prophet in the New Testament is different in administration than the ministry of the prophet in the Old Testament, simply from the foundation of being born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. But the Father has given us these gifts. Now, we may not think that's a big deal, but it's through the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. Remember, it talks about the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the teaching that's been given to us. Do you realize it was through the ministry of the apostles that we have essentially the New Testament? God worked through them. That may not seem like a very big deal to us. Ah, big deal. What's a pastor? Ah, big deal. What's an apostle? Some people don't even believe they exist anymore. Can you imagine? I could just see my dad. He gives me a bicycle for Christmas. About 2 or 3 years later, I said, "Oh, Dad, that bicycle passed away." He says, "Jim, what are you talking about? It's right out there in the carport." "Oh, no, Dad, we don't believe in those things anymore." The gift of the bicycle is not for today. That's just about as silly as people go around saying things like the gift or the ministry of the apostle and the prophet are not for today. They are gifts to us. And God operates through these different ministry areas. He operates through the apostle differently than He does through the teacher and differently than the evangelist. I mean, there are different methods of operation. In all of them, there are similarities of operation, but there are different operations within each one of those. And those are gifts to us. God calls them gifts. Thank God. for the gift of the apostle. Thank God for the gift of the prophet. Thank God for people like Kenneth Hagin. Hallelujah. Thank God for people like Smith Wigglesworth. Thank God for people like John G. Lake. All the kind of people I never heard about growing up in church. Didn't want to talk about them. You talk about them, you got to talk about what's happening in their ministry. These are gifts. These are gifts. Can you, in your wildest imagination, at Christmas time, when you were a child growing up, can you imagine mom and dad coming to you and giving you a big old box all wrapped up, beautiful paper, big ribbon and all that? It's underneath the Christmas tree. It's got your name on it. You walk over, you look at it, and you say, I don't want that. I don't know about you, but I'd have torn into that. Ripped it open. And help the person who gets in my way. Elbows would be flying. I want to find out what's in there. Can you imagine my mom and dad? If I'd have said, I don't want that. No thanks. But Jimmy, you don't even know what it is. I don't want it. No thank you. That's just what happens when people say the gift of the apostle and the prophet don't operate anymore. It's like looking at the Father and saying, nah. I can do fine in life without this gift. And the Father's in heaven. He says, what, are you nuts? Of course, he doesn't have to ask that. He already knows. But he's given us these gifts. Gifts. He calls them gifts. He didn't have to give these to us. He could have said, all right, y'all, just do the best you can. He said, no, you need help. So I'm going to give you help gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and on and on. These are gifts that he's given to us. We may not agree with what every single one of them preaches or teaches, but from our Father's perspective, they are still gifts that he has given to us. And I thank God for those gifts. Well, let's look someplace else. Look over in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out, what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God! The gift of the Holy Ghost. That's awesome. You know, as I was going through this, and I'm just looking up, like I said, the word gift and gifts, it's like these things started hitting home to me more. God didn't have to give us the Holy Ghost. He didn't have to. But He loves us so much. He says, okay, second person of the Godhead, you finished your task, now you're up here. And He looks over and He says, okay, third person, now it's your turn. Tag in and go get him. And the Holy Spirit, because He is the third person of the Godhead, and because God is love, the Holy Spirit, I can just imagine. You know, He's not a cloudy-looking Casper the Friendly Ghost thing. You know what I'm saying? He's a person. He's a person. All right? I'm a person. You're a person. Go home and look in the mirror. The Holy Ghost is a person. And He's up in heaven. And because He loves us so much, He knew the plan of God. He helped bring it about. And He's saying, okay, there's coming a day. Jesus, you're going to be born, and you're going to do your thing down there, and you're going to come up, and it's going to be my turn. I get to go down there. I get to go down there, and I get you only get to stay down there 33 and a half years. I get to go down there and stay with Him forever. Praise the Lord. And He's so excited. He's waiting for His moment. He's waiting. Hurry up. Raise Him from the dead. Hurry up. Get Him back up here. Come on, Father. Move it. Let's go. I want to get down there. I want to be inside them. Oh, you know how much we love them. And Jesus, He raises from the dead. And the Holy Spirit says, get Him up here now. Finally, here comes Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, it's my turn. Down He comes. Got so excited, everybody caught fire. I said, yeah, Brother Martin, you are taking liberties in this one. He loved us so much. He was looking forward to this. He wanted to come. Now, it didn't have to be that way. But the Father says, I want to give them another gift. He says, boy, this is fun giving all this stuff to them. He says, I'm going to give them the gift of the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead is in you now. I don't understand how, but he's in you. And the wild thing about it is, he is in you, and he is in you, he is in me, he's in people over in China, all at the same time. I don't have a clue. I can't explain it. But I thank God for this gift. I thank God for this gift. And oh, how I feel so sorry for the people who deny this gift. I know that God has emotions. I know He has feelings. You know, I personally believe, and you don't have to agree, but I personally believe it hurts the Holy Spirit's feelings when people deny that gift. Deny Him as a gift. After everything that God's gone through to make it possible, then for people to deny, praise God. I mean, I'm so glad that I listened when somebody started telling me about the gift of the Holy Ghost. I am so glad I paid attention. I am so glad I did not reach back and grab a hold of all of my traditions. I thank God that my ears perked up. I thought, hey, he's got another gift? Glory. I want it. I want it too. And the Father didn't hold back. He gave me this gift. Let me show you more. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Ah, oh, Brother Martin, I know where you're going. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And look what he says beginning in verse 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Isn't it so cool? The Father says, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, Father, hold on just a second. Before I run down there, I got some things I want to wrap up and take with me. And He comes down with a bag of gifts of His own. And these gifts, these are kind of like, temporary use gifts. Let me explain. Let's say that I tell you, I have a gift for you. And you say, well, praise God, what is it? I said, well, you come with me. So we get in my car and I take you to a restaurant and I buy you dinner. That's my gift to you. Now, that's a temporary gift, isn't it? As long as you sit there in that restaurant and you eat your steak and your potato and your salad and your piece of cheesecake and you drink your Coke and you drink your coffee. We go through the whole meal. When it's over till the next time. Well, that's kind of like what these gifts are. Holy Spirit says, I've got these gifts. And you know what? Today, I'm going to give you the gift of the word of wisdom. Now, when it's over, but there could come another time. Because when you're in the right place, at the right spot, I just may give you another one. Maybe the word of knowledge next time. Or I may use you to interpret tongues. But these are gifts that he has. And it's like the bag has no bottom. And he divides severally. And I'll tell you what, there's one gift in the midst of all that where he's talking about that diverse kinds of tongues. Oh, glory to God. He gave one of them to me. Praise the Lord. He gave me a prayer language, a gift. He gave me the gift to be able to pray in His language, to be able to pray in that unknown tongue, to be able to speak that language. My mind doesn't have a clue what's going on, but the Holy Spirit says, oh, if you'll just receive me as a gift, I'm going to give you a gift instantly. Just like that, I'll pass another gift on to you. I'll give you the gift of a prayer language. Oh, praise God. Aren't you happy? He's given that gift to you. Everything that we know about that. He says, hey, listen, this this is going to be just about the most valuable gift that you're ever going to get. You get to pray the perfect will of God. You get to pray the mysteries of God. You get to pray the anointing. You get to pray, build up yourself on your most holy faith. You get to pray and keep yourself in the love of God. You get to pray, and I begin to reveal to you the will of God for your life. A gift. God didn't have to do that for us either. But He did. He worked it out with the Holy Spirit. When you get down there, third person, if they'll receive you, first thing I want you to do is give them the gift of prayer. Perfect, pure prayer. Would you do that? And the Holy Spirit says, you know I'll do that. Let's take a look at some more gifts. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Take a look at, let's see here. Verse 8, Ephesians, oh, I'm in wrong verse, wrong chapter. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. This saved, it's a gift. Saved is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Because you see, salvation, man, I tell you, that's like opening up a box as a little kid, a big box, and on the inside of that box is every single toy you have ever wanted. They're all in there. And you open it up, and it's like, wow. Look at that. A Tonka truck. Hot Wheels. Matchbox cars. Look at that. Squirt guns. Look at this. And there's everything in there that you know, you make out this big list. I don't know about you, but one of the things at Christmas time that I like to do is get like a Sears catalog and go through that toy section. And I mean, I want this one. I want this one. I want this one. Here you go, Mom. There's nothing left you don't want. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is a singular word with a plural meaning. It sounds like one thing, but do you understand that with the gift of salvation comes your peace, comes your joy, comes your deliverance, comes your healing? I mean, everything. Everything is in this package, this big box labeled salvation. And when you open up that gift, you know, as a kid, it's like you open up all your presents. Like, which one do you play with first? Which one means the most? Now, little bitty kids, it's the empty box. But as we get a little bit older, we cast the boxes aside. And it's like, boy, what do I play with first? You know, which one? So we grab one, we play with it for a while. Grab another one, play with it for a while. And if they gave you a football, I can remember they gave me a football one year. Oh, I was so excited. I got a football. Not one of these stupid little rubber things that bounces, you know, just squeezy. I'm talking a leather football. It's got leather laces on it. I got a football. And I went outside, cold. But I bundled up, went outside, took my football, and threw myself passes. How in the world did you? Well, I'd just throw it up real high, and then I'd run, and I'd catch it. And I'd throw it again, and I'd run, and I'd catch it. Then I'd kick it, and I'd run, and I'd catch it. I won every game. Salvation, it's everything. You see, I want healing, salvation. I want peace, salvation. I want joy, salvation. I want deliverance, salvation. It's a singular word with a plural meaning. And it's a gift that our Father has given unto us. But I want you to see one more. Look over in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This is the best one. I mean numero uno. I mean everything that you think of with the salvation as far as the healing and the joy and the peace and the deliverance and all, that's wonderful. The Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost, oh, how incredible. The gift of being able to pray in that perfect prayer language, to pray in tongues, how great it is. But this one is absolutely the best. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God! Hallelujah! He's given me the gift of eternal life. He didn't have to do that. All he had to do was let a bunch of the offerings and the animals, he could have let all of that old kind of blood suffice to be a covering for the acts of sin. He didn't have to do all the stuff that he did. But he said, I'm going to send Jesus down there, and He's going to complete His work, and when He does, I am going to be able to give them the gift of eternal life. Not just a remission of sins, not just blood to wash away sins, but I'm going to give them the gift of eternal life. He's given us the gift of eternal life. Merry Christmas, church! We've got eternal life! Hallelujah! Praise God! What a gift! What a gift! Eternal life! Sometimes it doesn't feel like it in this body. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it with all the stuff that goes on around me. But I've got the gift of eternal life. He gave it to me because He loves me so much. He wanted to share it with me. The gift of eternal life so that I could spend forever with Him. Praise God. Praise God. The gift of eternal life. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful gift. All the other gifts, no disrespect intended to the Holy Ghost, or tongues, or salvation, or any of those other things. But without eternal life, without that gift, what would the others profit me? But thank God, when He started passing out gifts, He couldn't stop. He didn't stop with eternal life. He didn't stop with the Holy Ghost. He didn't stop with self. He just kept going and kept giving and kept giving and kept giving. And He says, hey, you can't buy it. Amen. It's by My grace. And I give them all to you because I love you. Praise God. Now that's what you want under your Christmas tree. Hallelujah. Stand up.